thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
Yeah, you're on with the Urban Sports Team. We all here for about to have a great, excellent show. Great, excellent show. Did that make any sense, sir?
Hey, it's something that describes what's about to happen. I like it.
So what's about to go down then? A great, excellent show? Oh, my. I like that, man. We're going to have an awesome time, a blessed time. I am Wally, and you can introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you for cueing me. This is Ray, Tyus Jones' cousin.
Why you always got to talk? Oh, actually, that's not your mic. You're not even up yet. See, now you can talk. Oh, okay. Now you're better.
I'm Tyus Jones' cousin. I'm glad.
I don't think anybody heard you the first time. That's messed up.
Yes, well, that's fine. I am Ray, and I'm related to Tyus Jones. And he offered me tickets.
Why are you bringing up Tyus Jones?
Because I need to take a shot. Daryl Watkins, I told you, man. I told you he wasn't NBA material.
Look, he is NBA material. He's just playing behind two good point guards.
Andre Miller?
Andre Miller doesn't play either. He had no burn. Rubio and LaVine.
You said two great point
LaVine.
guards.
LaVine plays point guard.
I thought he played a shooting guard.
Nah, he's a backup point guard.
Well.
And then they combo guard him, too.
I think LaVine actually plays a two.
No, I watched the game,
Along with Kevin Martin.
No, I watched the game. You can't tell me.
It's the first game.
Dude.
Oh, they played the matchup that game. Which is part of why he didn't suit up.
Look, all I'm saying, in the game that I watched, Mr. 85%. No, sorry, he's not 85% anymore. Mr. Always Correct. That's what we call him. Always Correct.
Most of the time.
Most of the time, right? The game that I watched.
I was right about Kirk Cousins.
Well, you weren't right about Kirk Cousins about what? You weren't right about Kirk Cousins. You can't be right about Kirk Cousins one day and then be wrong the next day and then right again. You know, you can't do that. You can't have it both ways, man. Good God. Anyway, our third member, Will T, we waiting on him. He'll be coming in shortly.
We'll get to the NBA later, but
yeah.
Tyus Jones didn't suit up.
Well, he didn't shoot up. He didn't suit up. I know. I watched the game.
But Towns did. The other first round
pick. Oh, Towns got busy.
You're a first round pick. You don't suit up. And there's rumors that he's headed to the D League. Which is okay.
That happens. Gilbert Arenas was the second round pick. Didn't get any burn in the beginning. Got burned, and he was like a beast. So it doesn't. You can still be like that. Don't make his career is not over because he didn't play game one.
No, it's not. It's just a good sign of what I was talking about.
Right. You've been wrong before.
You like Rubio, right?
I love Rubio now. I love Rubio.
A great point guard.
Yeah, dog. It's called improvement.
No, you didn't like Rubio.
It's called improvement. Look, improvement. Rubio was garbage in the beginning to me. I thought Johnny Flynn was better than Rubio in the beginning, coming out of Syracuse or St. John's. Yeah, Syracuse, right?
How'd that turn out? Syracuse, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You weren't a Johnny Flynn believer back then?
Sure. I like Johnny Flynn, but I knew Rubio had talent. I knew he could pass. I knew he could dribble. But again, I don't want to digress. We can talk about the NBA later.
Dude. I'm trying to figure out where is my sheet at so I can go to the next segment.
It's one behind you.
Thank you. Appreciate it because I didn't know where I was
Black.
Going next.
The Nationals are going to have Bud back. Yes. Is that first?
The pregame? Can we say the pregame?
The tradition.
Can we go into our Can we get into tradition?
That's even why, though Will T here? Try to take over.
Look, pregame. Can we stay what we're going to do next? All right. Let's get into our tradition because Will T can't say it. The pregame. Anyway, and our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Yeah, Ray already stole the thunder about the Nats hiring Bud Black. Good hire, I guess. I don't know. I prefer that Dusty Baker get an opportunity. I feel a certain way about Dusty Baker not getting an opportunity at that job. He managed well with the Giants, managed well with the Reds, the Cubs did a decent job. I think all three teams to the postseason. So he's a player that I always state that the Nationals need a proven commodity. And he is a proven commodity. I don't know what that was.
But
oh, I got that sound bite. I got that sound bite. We got my man Ice Willie T in the building, chilling. He's got to put his phone up, whatever that means.
You don't have a car charger, son?
But yeah, Bud Black, the manager for the Nats. I don't know. Do you think that's going to be something special?
Well,
here's the thing. It was nobody else left. And they couldn't hire Mattingly because he did not succeed with equal talent in L.A. or even better talent. So you had to go that direction. What else where else could they have gone? That's my question.
Like I said, Dusty Baker. I like Dusty Baker.
No, I was going to say, well, I guess, you know, with Matt Williams, you went with the guy, the inexperienced guy.
Exactly.
I really wanted Dave Martinez to get the job. Bench coach for the Cubs, who's been...
Under Madden. Yeah,
Joe Madden's lieutenant.
I wanted Ozzie Guillen.
I thought, no, that's not a bad one.
A thug. Ain't no Jonathan Papelbon jacking people up if Ozzie Guillen is the manager. Put it that way.
No, I like totally that one. You, again, I think the Nationals would be better suited to have a proven commodity. Ozzie Guillen has a World Series championship. I mean, those are the kind of individuals that I think that the Nationals would be good in picking up players like I said, Ozzie Guillen. Managers like Ozzie Guillen. I said Dusty Baker. He may have not won a World Series, but he got his team to the World Series. People who've had postseason experience and even advanced in the postseason.
Well, I think Dusty Baker failed after he left San Francisco, which is a concern. That's a red flag for me. Now, if you're successful in multiple jobs,
what's a failure? What do you mean by failure? Because he took all teams to the postseason. That's difficult.
Yeah, the Reds. He didn't take them to the ALCS. I don't believe.
He took them to the postseason. I mean, you take three different. I feel like as a manager, you take different teams to the postseason, because it's so hard to win a championship. If you could take three different teams to the postseason, that's an accomplishment. Not every manager, every good manager does that.
I would look at all professional sports and probably find multiple coaches who've taken more than one organization or / team to the postseason, but haven't had success beyond that. A la maybe Herm Edwards. So to me, that's not necessarily something that stands out to me, because you took a team to the postseason. Mm-hmm. The Nets have been to the postseason several times. That was the case, Matt Williams would still be here. You want somebody who can take you to a championship and win a championship. And Ozzie Guillen can do that.
Yeah, which I have no problem.
You say you agree with that. I know.
I agree with that. So
But Dusty Baker can't prove that he can.
Well, the thing about Dusty with this team, this Nats team is already has all the pieces to be a champion. I mean, this talent wise, I feel like there's not that many teams in baseball as talented as Nationals.
Gotta disagree with you on that part. I mean, they have the pieces. They have the pieces, but I think as a complete, now definitely you would have thought coming into this season, pitching staff, everyone thought this would be one of the all-time great pitching staffs. Mm-hmm. But we've seen consistently over the past two or three seasons, you know, with Harper with this historic season that he had. But outside of him and Rendon, who are the guys that are – and Span when he's healthy. But who else in that lineup is really going to do a lot of damage? Well, Zimmerman hasn't been able to stay healthy. Worth hasn't been able to stay healthy. You aren't getting the production you would hope to get from the catcher spot from Lobaton or Wilson Ramos. Michael A. Taylor, now he looks like a player. Even though this was rookie year, he looks like a player.
Ian Desmond's done.
He's done in this town. He's done in D.C. And at second base, Espinoza, a good defensive player, but we all know that in the past he's had his problems with consistency with the bat.
Well, the way Mike Rizzo's constructed the roster is you have the potential to score a lot of runs, and based on the pitching, you would think the opposition would not score as much. So even if the Nationals have an off game, they should be able to outpitch teams. But I think the Mets, of course, surprise people. But there's a number of other good pitching teams like the Dodgers, for example, who swept the Nationals the last time they faced them in a series. I like the Pirates too. I think the Pirates have a squad that can potentially at least make a World Series. I'm not saying they can win it.
No, I agree. I think they do. When you have Andrew McCutchen, who's probably to me one of the best one of the best baseball players period in the game, and then you have and the pitching staff for the Pirates is no slouch either. So I agree with you by referencing the Pirates. But let's go to the World Series. You mentioned the Mets and their young pitching staff. Right now, the Royals are up in that series. The Kansas City Royals are up in that series 2 games to nothing. I think many people probably didn't think it would go this way at the moment, like going up 2-0, knowing that you had DeGrom and Harvey the first 2 games for the Mets.
I can't say that I agree wholeheartedly with that, because for A, we saw with the Royals what they were capable of doing last season in the World Series, then also what they've been able to do this year, which is get contact, get guys on base, and play stellar defense. Now, they don't necessarily have the top of the line, top flight pitching that the Mets have, but they do have good, they have pretty decent pitching in the one and the two spot. So I think that you couple that with on top of the experience that they have being in the moment, being in the light, I think it's fair to say that Kansas City, you know, they're doing what some people thought they would do, because a lot of people thought they were the best team in baseball this year.
Again, just by looking how, I mean, Kansas City, because they don't, I look at them as a team that is not predicated on hitting the home runs, because they're based on speed. They play baseball the right way. They actually play a National League style of baseball, a brand of baseball. But I just thought, just looking at how hot the Mets pitching staff has been. Not even Harvey. I think Harvey's been up and down anyway throughout the whole season. But DeGrom, knowing that, DeGrom, not being that closer, he's been against some of the best pitchers in the postseason, and Kershaw, Greinke, against the Dodgers, and even in the Cup with the Cubs, Arrieta and company. So he's outpitched some of the great pitchers in baseball this season, some of the great young pitchers in baseball this season. So with him not shutting down the Royals or giving his team a chance to compete in game two surprised me. Now, granted, obviously game one, the Mets had that game. They had their closer ready to shut it down, be at 1-0, gave up a home run. It happens. That's baseball. Now, did they have a little hangover in game two? I don't think so. Game three is going to be very, very, very important for this team. Obviously, you don't want to go down 3-0, but you do have Noah Syndergaard, a guy who's pitched well in the postseason. I think his ERA is like 2.7. And he's been a guy that throws about 98. So he has an opportunity to get the Mets back in the series. Now he's going against Ventura. Ventura is too a hard thrower, but he's been more erratic in the postseason, even in the regular season. So game three is going to be big, but the Mets had the right person, I feel like, you know, going up in game three. You good? You don't want to say
that? Nah, man.
I feel you. I did.
I'm sorry. Said a lot.
I know I said too much. Hey, Don Mattingly is now the manager for the Florida Marlins.
Let me ask y'all a question.
Ask away.
How do you guys feel about the whole tradition in baseball that when the World Series going on and, you know, teams make a hiring, they can't announce it until after the World Series? Because I remember, if you remember when A-Rod signed that big contract almost like, what, eight, 10 years ago, and he announced it, I guess, during what, game two of the World Series, you know, baseball purists were in an uproar that, you know, how dare he, who does he think he is to make an announcement during the World Series? How do you feel about MLB just thinking that the World Series is like the Holy Grail and no baseball and news or announcements can be made?
Well, I think like in all the sports, you don't want to, that's your game. Like, I mean, that's your prize game. Like, that's it. You know, you don't want anything big happening to it during the Super Bowl if you're an NFL player.
I'm sure that there, if you go back and you look on the history, there's been teams that have made a hiring that
I'm sure
it's been announced, like, you know, yeah, or the buzz has gotten out, or, you know, a team has made the announcement like right before the Super Bowl. And, you know, we all know that during the NBA finals, there have been coaches that have been fired or.
Yeah,
I believe like that Rex Ryan was hired by the Bills before the Super Bowl last season.
They could, yeah.
The Falcons had to wait on the Super Bowl to hire Dan Quinn.
Yeah, to get Dan Quinn.
But, yeah, I don't know. Baseball, to me, is just different from every other sport when it comes to protocol, ethics. There's some things that in baseball, it's not a whole lot of celebration. You know what I mean? Which is why Batista celebrated, because finally they have somebody who can be the poster boy for that type of, I guess, behavior versus,
you know Batista, other sports. Batista?
Yeah, to walk off home.
Yeah, and what? What's wrong with that?
That dude is so annoying.
It was nothing wrong with what he did.
You can watch a baseball game and there'd be no excitement sometimes. I mean, literally nothing. You know what I mean? I understand.
I'm biased. I don't like Batista. That's the only problem.
I understand the NFL. People are annoyed by a first down celebration. I hate Cam Newton. He points every time he gets a first down. It's annoying.
Are you serious? You don't like that?
No. After one first down, because the problem is when people are losing, they still do stuff like that. Yeah.
I agree with you, Ray.
So
I don't,
over the top.
I don't like the whole, you know, you make a 12 or 7 yard catch, you spin the ball,
exactly,
or you know, you Santana get a first, balls. You get, a,
I know, I do
you
it.
Get, you get a first down, I you know, do it. The Cam Newton thing, but look. You know what they have outlawed and taking the fun out of the NFL is the touchdown celebration.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That was the great part. Like you achieved something. You achieved the goal.
The fun
celebrated.
I get 1 yard.
The Icky Wood shuffle.
I get 1 yard and I'm celebrating.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. here's the thing. No,
someone can make me up on Madden.
Major League Baseball, it's always been different. You know, it's always been the Cal Ripkins and Ozzie Smith did backflips or whatever, but was that like in between innings? It's been no type of real excitement. So when you have a guy who is going to crush a home run and stare somebody down. I like that. You know what I mean? The game needs that. So I just feel like baseball has always been different from other sports. You know, basketball is the same way. LeBron and them would have a premeditated celebration. You know what I'm saying? Terrell Owens, premeditated celebrations. Now, he's the one that messed it up for everybody because he's pulling out Sharpies. And
I ain't seen wrong with that.
I didn't see anything wrong with that.
No, it got annoying.
It became a little bit too much. Chad Ochocinco, he had the best ones. When he did the river dance,
yeah, awesome.
That was hilarious. That was probably the most. That was the funniest.
Joe Horn.
That was annoying. That was
really?
Annoying.
No, was it?
I didn't like the Joe Horn. Really? I thought that was corny.
The phone. The phone. He had the
when
phone.
He pulled the phone up from out of the jar. That was whack. Yeah, that was that.
I liked
was whack.
It. I liked it.
The best one ever to me.
I'm a fan of creativity. It's creative.
No, the best one ever to me was Chad Johnson doing the river dance.
What a Hall of Fame jacket joint.
The Hall of Fame.
That was over the top.
That was a bit over the top. The
like
river
it.
Dance.
What was
I love the river dance. I love the river dance.
That's. I mean, that's what's wrong with being over the top just a little bit. I mean, it was fun. It was fun to me. It's creative.
T.O. Bring something new. Star was great.
That's awesome.
That was the. That was. Awesome.
Are we biased though? I mean, are we biased?
No, no. Because
I hate the Cowboys.
And when he was an Eagle and he scored against the Ravens and did the Ray Lewis dance.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. That was great. That was great. No, I was cool with that. Is that bad thing though?
Deion's old dances used to be good. I mean, like I said,
Deion's old dances.
You see, how many people? This is my point. You see how many people were naming in football that did these things. In baseball, you don't have that.
Griffey.
You had fat guy Griffey. What?
Griffey had the greatest pose. The pose. You know. You don't know the walk.
Boring though. And whenever they were fighting, he never got involved.
He's a baseball player. Baseball players don't fight.
Think about Wally.
Yes, they do.
No, he ain't
Wally, think
no, he
about
not.
It like this.
You see Pablo Bond, son?
He ain't real.
Wally, think about it like this. We just named, me and Ray and you, we just named like 10 celebrations when it came to NFL over the past not even a decade. And think about it realistically. Think about the most famous celebration in MLB that we can remember. Joe Carter.
That was weak to me.
That was probably the most. That was probably the most famous celebration you could think
so
of.
Happy.
With
like,
Joe Carter
he
when he hit
happy.
The home run to win the World Series for Toronto.
They take the fun out of the game. Watch the Little League World Series. You see some exciting teams, right?
Griffey used to always have the best poses, dog.
Griffey, that was the best. That was the
and
best.
And Barry Bonds, they used to have the best. They had the best poses, though. Like Griffey and Barry Bonds, best joints.
Mark McGwire and
but she's
weak.
Don't
Jones
is
weak though. Don't Jones is weak. That was weak.
Yeah, it was.
That was nice.
So you don't like Batista? I mean, come on, man.
Batista, I told you I'm biased.
Why? Because you're Orioles fan?
I can't stand that dude. Because
has Batista ever done?
He irks. No, that's Orioles. It's an Orioles thing. It's an issue.
Okay, so just say you biased.
I did say that.
Because you're
an
Orioles fan.
No, not because he used to do that crap to us. I'm biased though. I stated that off the bat. Like, dude did the same thing and then mugged the dugout and then he got beamed after the fact. That's weird about that.
See, I don't understand.
Wasn't that entertaining though? Come on now.
What?
That game.
Which game?
The game you're talking about.
It was decent enough.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, MLB needs more of that if they want to have a better product throughout the entire season. It's a long, drawn-out season, and it's hard to watch sometimes. Postseason is always great. Don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
But if you add that element where it's not these baseball purists, as we'll describe them.
Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Now you good. Just trying to see that. See if Jew was supposed to be up. Yes, my boy Jew. What's up, Jew? You can talk. Look, you
come in looking like a mime.
I know, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Live radio.
I'm not supposed to be here.
It's live radio, man.
I mean, no,
yeah.
I can't come.
Yeah, we don't curse out here, man. You know what I'm saying? How you doing? What can we call you?
Just call me the dope, man.
Okay.
And
there
you have it.
And there you have it. We have Mr. A friend of the show.
Smell like a new car, though, man.
I know. You got a new car smell, dude.
Car smell.
All right, thanks, bro. I trust you. I'm not even counting it. The juicer is like, in effect. Oh my God, the juicer comes down.
No, sir. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Oh my God, what's going on? What just happened? Hey, anything can happen to Urban Sports Scene, man.
Anything
can happen, man. Anything can happen.
For those of you who are not able to see us on the webcam, log on to the website. But where were we?
I don't know, Don man.
Don Mattingly was hired as the manager of the Florida Marlins.
Great. I don't know what just happened.
College football. Do we need a commercial break?
I think we may need a commercial break. I totally agree with you. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
All right.
People say we're gonna be the best someday. Someday? I don't care about someday. I care about today. I do the work. For my teammates, for myself, for my city. By someday, it's a day.
Back from break. Nothing gets better than the NBA on NBC. Like the theme music.
Bob Costas, Raise Thy Memories, right?
Yeah. What's his name?
Steve Snapper Jones, Bill Walton.
Peter Vesely.
Marv Albert's still doing games, but yeah. It's like NBC. The Czar, Mark Patello.
It doesn't get any better than that, man. I'm telling you, man. Sam Jones.
The music.
What's Sam Jones?
The music alone gets you hyped.
Steve Snapper Jones or Sam Jones?
I just said that.
I ain't paying no mind, dude.
Cookies, man. Stop using.
I ain't touch him yet. You want to do the read for me, y'all?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also listen to the Sports Grid podcast. Well, there's a couple things. One is nobody ever emails the show.
They do. So, I have.
Emails?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people still do that.
Huh? Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
For particular stuff, though, that's why.
And also, you can listen to the Sports Career Podcast. They're a friend of the show, I'm going to say.
They're on tonight.
They're on tonight. Sorry, don't listen tonight. Listen to them next week. blogtalkradio.com/WC.
I need to stop. The
show is hosted by West Coast Steeler fan. Hey, what's happening, man?
I support West Coast Steeler fan. He's the man.
Cool dude. He's a good dude.
Yes, I need to.
How old is West Coast Steeler?
I don't know. He could be like at 100. At some point. He could be. He's a great guy, though.
Yeah, he is.
I ain't taking that away.
No. He's very in touch with this generation. I will say that for an older gentleman.
You know? Yeah, in many ways.
Stay young.
He has like cribbing at the dark.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that? Did you learn from Lamar Odom taking too many of them pills, bro? Look, cookies and what is it? What keeps you young? These cookies, right?
Nah, staying around young people and having young thoughts, man. That's what keeps you young, man.
That's a real thought.
That is.
I appreciate you, man, stepping in and saving me just now because I was stuck.
I know you were.
This is what happens when people, you know, throw you hand signals as you're trying to make your point.
You did a good job, though. I'm glad you stole time, man.
No, I did, absolutely, because it's time to talk NBA.
I appreciate it. Now it's time to talk NBA.
What do you think about that, though?
I know, right? Time to talk NBA. Let's talk about the Washington Wizards. Right now, we have our Washington Wizards beat writer, and also our blogger on the Urban Sports, saying Kobe Jacobino. Kobe, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Everything is good. Everything is good. First off, you all can check Kobe, some of Kobe's blogs and Wizards information at HoopsHabit. Did I say correct.com?
Yep.
HoopsHabit.com. And also, you can catch him on Twitter. Kobe G, was it 33? I'm having a bad day today.
Yeah, okay, 33.
I know you changed that, 33. So make sure you follow him on Twitter. Anyway, let's get to the Washington Wizards. The Wizards beat the Magic 88-87. So what did you learn about the Wizards in that game?
I think the big thing that we learned is it's gonna be a process of them, really perfecting this up-tempo offense. We saw a lot of things that could alarm you, with turnovers and maybe some rush shots, because they're still getting, the little things down when it comes to what's a good shot and what's not in the up-tempo offense. But, and then another thing is, guys got to get in better shape. If they want to play that speed throughout an 82 game season, it takes, incredible, conditioning and shape throughout. And Randy Whitman's actually been, stating that a lot in his interviews. And same with John Wall. He's actually, I don't know if you guys saw or not, but he's actually cutting out a lot of junk food in his diet, because he is determined to, become or perfect this system, because that's what everybody's been yelling at Randy Whitman for. Let him speed up. John Wall's a point guard. They should be playing a fast-paced game. So I think that's what we learned. But there were some bright spots. I mean, another thing we learned is John Wall and Bradley Beal will continue to be one of the best backcourt duos in the NBA, and they're only getting better. So I think, I saw a lot of professional, analysts from ESPN tweeting last night saying, if Brad Beal can keep up this level of play, he'll be on the level of a Klay Thompson or even higher than that. So that's big expectations, but he played great last night.
So speaking of Bradley Beal, do you think he's finally got it to a point where we just don't see him perform like this in the postseason? We can see him perform like this in the regular season?
I think that's what we'll wait and see. The big thing surrounding Beal, of course, is whether or not he can stay healthy. It seems like he always gets hurt for at least, a couple months during the season. Now, not a couple months, in a row, but 2 weeks here, a week there, stuff like that. So he needs to prove that he can stay healthy. And, when he's healthy, he's put on performances like that. But I think last year in the playoffs, having those big games, I think he had like a 35-point game, 29-point game in the same series as when they played Atlanta. So I think that did wonders for his confidence heading into this season.
All right, so obviously, we've been hearing a lot of talk about the Wizards, trying to, make Chris Humphreys into a stretch four. How do you think that panned out in the game against Miami? The game against the Magic.
There was rough spots. I would say there was rough spots, definitely. But I think Humphreys is the only guy that we really have right now that can play the stretch four. Now, in my opinion, I think they should slide Porter over and put him at the stretch four some, because he'll give some athletic ability there. That's the only problem with Humphreys, is can he stay in front of guys who are quicker than him? We saw last night he had a big problem staying in front of Aaron Gordon, and then when they moved Tobias Harris to the four, he really struggled just staying in front of him. So if we can somehow get Porter at the stretch four, it would really help us out. But another thing that I want to look into is why Jared Dudley didn't touch the floor last night. I'm not sure if he's still hurting from, recovering from the back surgery, but last I heard he was 100%. So I don't know if that was something that Whippet just decided to do or what. And then one more thought on that is when Alan Anderson comes back, eventually if he comes back with that ankle injury, that will allow the Wizards to move Otto Porter to the stretch four and put Anderson in there just for, to be a scorer, which will greatly help the lineup out.
Hey, the Wizards have never been seen, I think, in the past several years as a tough team or an intimidating team. But with Paul Pierce last year, Nene's always been considered a tough guy in the league. I think they had developed some level of toughness, and you saw that play out in the Christmas game. And also throughout the course of the playoffs. But this year with the change in style, they now look like a more finesse squad. Do you think that may hurt them because they're going to lack, like to me, they're not Golden State. Golden State isn't intimidating because people know that they can blow you out at any given moment. The Wizards don't have I don't think they carry that with them yet. What do you think? You think they are going to be better at this style, or should they focus on being a tougher defensive team? Because to me, Oladipo didn't look like he was intimidated at all last night. He played a great game, in my opinion.
No, he didn't. And I go back to there's going to be some rough patches during the season with this system. It's not something that you can just put in and throughout the preseason perfect it. There's a lot of different things that go into it. And you're right, with the mindset, you got to have that defensive mindset of being tough. And John Wall has really grown as both a player and just a person, you know, with his attitude towards the game. And he's determined to, he came out and said he's determined to get his name in the MVP conversation. He wants to get first team NBA, first team all defense. And, you know, in order to do that, it's going to take a team effort. You know, if he's the only good defender on the team, that doesn't necessarily, you know, guarantee that you're going to get noticed for it because, you know, you're the only one that's playing good defense. So he's going to be able to rally the troops. He learned a lot from Paul Pierce. Him and Brad Beal learned a lot from Paul Pierce in the sense of leadership. And I really think they've grown this past, just from the playoffs. So what, 5 months ago, I think they've grown tremendously and they're ready for, you know, they're not going to allow a slump like we had last season. I think it was back in January or February. We lost like, you know, 10 out of 13 games or something like that. And, I don't think this group will allow that. I think John Wall holds high expectations for everyone. And I think we'll see that throughout the season.
Hey, last question that I have personally is, they fell behind on the road again, which was a trend last year, in my opinion, a recurring theme. How do you think they can change that this season?
Can you repeat that question one more time?
How do you think they can change the trend of getting behind or falling behind on the road? They seemed to do that often last year, and they had to come back and win games late.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just, I know I keep going back to it, but this season the team's going to look a lot differently just because we want to push the pace. I think that'll help. Now, like I said, there might be games where we're going up against a really good team. I mean, last night wasn't a great example because if you go down, you know, if you fall behind 8, you know, to the Magic with 5 minutes left, you can really battle yourself back. But if you're going against a Golden State and they start getting momentum and start knocking down threes, you know, you're pretty much putting a nail in the coffin. So I think the best thing for that will just be experience, getting those guys in those situations, you know, and that might take a loss or two, but, you know, you learn from your mistakes, you know, you succeed from your failures. So I think that's the only way that we can get it. We can learn from that. But then again, you just got to put together. I know Paul Pierce isn't here to kind of pick people up, but Jared Dudley, in my eyes, he's not on the same level as Paul Pierce, but he's just under it. He's a veteran guy. Everybody wants him on his team. He knows the game. He knows the emotions of the game, what goes into it, and he'll be able to keep the guys level-headed through adversity, and I think that's going to help. But it's going to be in John Wall's hands, and he knows it. And he'll take control of the game and, you know, work his team back into it. And I think they'll be a lot better this year than last year when it comes to going down the road.
And do you think this team is too perimeter oriented?
I don't want to say we're too perimeter oriented. Not like other teams. I mean, you know, the NBA is a very copycat league. Once people see the success that the Warriors had playing small ball, shooting threes, stuff like that, everybody's going to try to do it. But there's only one Golden State Warriors. You know, that's what made them so successful last year. But everybody's trying to make the change. I still think we emphasize getting the ball inside the Gortat. I mean, yeah, it's not a lot of isolation post-up type sets, but he's always sent ball screens for Wall, and those two are like one of the most lethal pairs at doing so. I mean, I would say they are right behind Chris Paul and a Blake Griffin with, you know, being in pick and roll sets and having the success rate. Gortat is a very underrated player. He finished third in shooting percentage last season. I only expect that to rise this season playing smaller because then we'll have more room to operate on the block. So I think that 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 mindset of getting it inside is still going to be there. But it definitely, the game's changing. You know, the game's changing before our eyes. All the big men are becoming limited, and or not limited. They're trying to, you know, have a long range game more than we're used to seeing. You know, like Shaq, when you just dump it inside and let them work. It's not that anymore. It's, you know, can your center shoot threes? So the game's changing, and I think all the teams have to adjust to that. And I'm just glad the Wizards are starting now.
Yeah. So with that being said, what's your prediction for this season, record-wise? How far do they go in the postseason? Are you ready to make that prediction this early?
Yeah, I have a number in my head, and you know, I actually did an article back in July on my entire Eastern Conference predictions, but I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to say they finish third in the East, and to do that, you're going to have to win 50 to 55 games. I'm going to say. Now the big question is, our biggest rivals, of course, are going to be, you know, the Heat. Mm-hmm. If they can stay healthy, they're going to be a very dangerous team. I'm interested to see what the Bucks can do with their young group, but I just think, you know, they're too young right now to really be at the top of the East. But I think the Wizards are on track to get to 53 wins this season. And I know nationally they don't get a lot of respect, but when you look at it and you really look at the matchups, I think we match up well against the Cavs. Now we've got to take care of the stretch four position because Love, I think, would just, you know, have a field day with Humphries. But if he can improve, or we can make a move to, you know, help improve ourselves, get Dudley on the floor, I think we can match up well. I don't think the Wizards are going to go to the finals. I don't think we're there yet. Maybe after next year, next offseason, get a big player, you know, hint, KD. I think we'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals, finish with about 52 wins, and I would wrap that up as a successful season.
Eastern Conference Finals, I said before, they have to go, or Randy Whitman, I believe, will probably lose his job. I do think, though, that Paul Pierce is one of the better defenders against LeBron James in the league, even at his age currently. So losing him is huge. Although, while I don't like to wish bad things on people, I foresee LeBron struggling with his health this season for the first time in his career. So we'll see.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. Losing Pierce, being able to match up against LeBron is a big loss. But like I said, I mean, if throughout the season, you know, Porter can get his feet underneath him and his confidence, you know, keeping on that level, he's got the length to disrupt people. Now, he doesn't have the size to stay in front of LeBron. It'd be a team effort. But his length is definitely there. He's just got to get the reps and get the confidence, keep his confidence up.
Well, yeah, hey, Kobe, yeah, I agree. But, hey, Kobe, thanks for calling. And Keith, before you leave, can you tell folks how they can access your stuff, and also how can they reach you on Twitter or Facebook or any type of social media?
Yeah, no problem. First of all, thanks for having me on, as always, guys. You can find my stuff, hoochhabit.com. You can go to 1340foxsports.com on their blog. I'm on there. I'm on Urban Sports Scene blog. And on Twitter, KobeG33. And I also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/KobeJacobinoNBA. So just like my page, check me out, come talk basketball with me, and let's enjoy this fun season ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Kobe. Appreciate it. You stay blessed, my man.
Thanks, man. You too.
All right. That's my man, Kobe.
Considering what he just said, it just made me think, the Wizards, I would have went after Tayshaun Prince just for somebody who can disrupt LeBron. You know what I mean?
Because Tayshaun?
Yeah, because Tayshaun Prince is an excellent defender. He's the reason why Kobe struggled against the Pistons years ago.
That is so true.
And even though he's older, again, he still has the same length. And he's never been the quickest guy, but he's always been a solid defender. That's somebody I think you could have picked up cheap in the offseason. Jared Dudley is tough. I like him. Don't get me wrong. But LeBron will laugh at him, just like he laughed at Paul Millsap last year in the playoffs. Although, again, I'm expecting LeBron to struggle this season just to stay healthy.
I disagree with you on that one, man.
I'm not expecting him to struggle. I do think that David Blatt and David Griffin, I think that upper management is cognizant that LeBron is getting older and he's played a lot of minutes. I think what you're going to see them do is potentially do something similar that Greg Popovich does with Tim Duncan in San Antonio, which is give him nights off or give him reduced minutes. And I think especially when Kyrie Irving comes back, you're going to start to see the offense run more through Kyrie and Kevin Love and not LeBron initiating the offense so much when Kyrie Irving comes back.
All right, but back to the Wizards real quick. Give me your predictions on the Wizards in their season.
50-32, baby.
50-32, 50 games. Okay, yep. That's cool.
I said 50 last year.
What about yourself?
I'm going to go a little bit under that. I'm going to say 48 wins.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say 55 wins. Whew. 55 wins. I think this team is to me. I feel like they felt that rush in the postseason. They're gonna be better defensively with Paul Pierce gone. I think they'll be better defensively, but in the regular season last season, they rested Paul Pierce. So that success with Paul Pierce happened mostly in the postseason. They paced themselves with Paul Pierce because they knew they would need him in the postseason. This team is younger. They'll have more shooters around them. Gary Neal. You have Dudley, you got Anderson, who'll be back eventually. So he'll have shooters around him, so the three ball will be better. They have more space for John Wall. I like the way they're setting this offense up for John Wall to be a successful offense.
I think they're going to be good, of course, because they're a talented team, and they've done well the past several seasons. But with a rejuvenated Miami Heat team, the Wizards probably will not win their own division.
Who's the coach for Miami Heat?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, it's Eric Spoelstra. I'm sorry.
Two-time NBA
Eric Spoelstra.
Champion.
Look,
Eric Spoelstra.
With LeBron James. You're right.
Pat Riley is still right there. Pat Riley is still right there.
Riley still knows how to push the buttons.
Look, I'm going
to
say it again. I don't care. You're in the Eastern Conference. You're not in the Western Conference. You're in the Eastern Conference. If you struggle, you just won a championship. You just got to the finals. You just got to the finals. You can't make the postseason in the Eastern Conference? I don't care how many
injuries.
You had Dwayne Wade on your team. You had Dwayne Wade still on your team.
Had Chris Bosh.
You finished
out.
You had Dwayne Wade and still scoring about 20 some odd points a game.
Okay, and you like Whiteside too, right?
Yeah, I like Whiteside.
Okay. And he's getting better.
Yeah, he's getting better. But Eric Spoelstra's the coach. I'm not knocking talent. I just don't think Spoelstra's a good enough coach to get this team where they need to get to.
This is a conversation we'll continuously have through the season.
Because you know me, because I stay trash to Eric Spoelstra. So this season,
reason you don't like Eric Spoelstra.
I think he's a horrible coach.
Point to one reason why you think he's a horrible coach.
I said, I'm going to say it again. LeBron James leaves your team, leaves your organization. You're in the Eastern Conference. You have injuries. Okay, I'll give you that. But for you not to even scratch an AC.
Look what happened to Cleveland under LeBron James.
No, I agree.
It was even worse. They had like first-round picks.
McLean had nobody when LeBron left. They were going to make a team out of Boobie Gibson and folks. They had Dwayne Wade. And even with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, after a nice little start, they started going a big losing streak with a healthy Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade.
Here's the thing. I'm not an advocate for Spoelstra at all. I hate the fact that this conversation even went that direction. However, I will say this. LeBron James didn't have a championship ring with no other coach.
Yeah.
And he was on
I call that talent.
Teams.
Call it talent. He was on some better teams. No, he wasn't. Not with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
I misspoke. You're right. Dumb statement. I can acknowledge when I'm wrong. You know, I can. He was on some pretty good teams. But LeBron James obviously played a big role in why they didn't win as much. But if you looked at the season before the injuries took its toll and people were out for extended periods of time, the Heat were still in the discussion and they beat Miami. I mean, they beat Cleveland.
They lost a lot of sorry teams though last season. So I'm just saying.
For me to go back to the Wizards, I think the Wizards cannot lose to Boston.
Yeah.
Twice.
Cannot.
They can't lose to Boston.
Boston's improved though.
Coach teams in the league. Have you ever actually watched Boston's game?
I have.
Brad Stevens is a beast.
And they play hard from the beginning to end. They never give up.
That's true. Yeah.
The Wizards had them by 25 points and they came back last season
what's his name?
Washington.
Presley?
Phil Presley. He's not even in the NBA anymore.
Are you serious?
Yep.
He was in the preseason.
Unbelievable. Anyway, let's go to the OKC. They beat the Spurs. Was it yesterday? Beat the Spurs yesterday?
Yes, they defeated the Spurs.
Yesterday. Westbrook came out and said that KD's the best player in the world.
That's a shot of LeBron James, clearly. just to stir something up. Just to stir the pot a bit.
He can't be the best player in the world? Is that a possibility?
In the preseason, in 22 minutes of action, Russell Westbrook had 14 points and 13 rebounds in 22 minutes against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Tyus Jones started. Tyus Jones started that game,
you,
and
he had 0 for 5.
How many shots
did he take?
He had 0 points.
How many shots did he take?
I don't care. It was just the Tyus Jones.
Like the dude is like, this dude is like,
and he looked at Tyus Jones like, who is this guy? You know
what does Tyus Jones have to do for this segment?
And I'm gonna let people know it.
What's Tyus Jones ever done to you?
I'm a little. He got too much publicity, and
he was good. He fried
for him. That's another problem. No, because and here's another. I'm telling you, all these guys that go to the NBA before they're prepared, they're struggling, man. I thought Trey Burke was ready. He went 0 for 2 last night. 0 for 2. That's it.
Well, I mean, that's one game. Dudes. Trey Burke last year towards the end of the year. Trey Burke had a strong season.
He looked good in preseason. I told Wale, he was ready. But these guys who should be in the tournament this year making us have a good product. Did my mic just go?
No, you're good. No, don't worry about it. You're good.
I didn't mean to hit. I'm just getting a little heated because the college basketball product could be better if guys like Tyus Jones and Trey Burke would still be in school.
Well, there's another side to that argument. Like when we had this conversation off mic, a guy like Tyus Jones who hit his ceiling, who realistically, if he stayed in college for all 4 years, may not have accomplished what he accomplished during his first year at Duke. So who's to say that a guy like that, who pretty much, for sake of this argument, hit their ceiling, what are they supposed to stay in school for what? When you go to school to make a living for yourself and maximize your earning potential.
Yeah, he made the right financial decision. I'm not going to argue with that. But you have guys like Marcus Teague did the same thing. Brandon Knight took a while to develop, which is why it's certain guys that do not choose to go to college.
And that's like, why
I'm not
going to
waste my time. No, you go overseas. Brandon Jennings did it.
Brandon Jennings skipped high school for 1 year.
So
for eligibility purposes.
Tyus Jones. Mm-hmm. Thank you for correcting me, sir. 85. No, sorry. Mr. Always Correct. You want Tyus Jones to go overseas? Rather than be a first round pick?
No, what I'm saying is he wasted it. He had to leave.
He
wasn't Carmelo. That's my point. If you win a championship and Anthony Davis, you know, guys like that, you win a championship, you maximize your potential, you're gone. He clearly had room to grow physically and as a basketball player.
Your draft stock wasn't going to be any higher.
Well, that's why I said he made a good financial decision, but, you know, basketball standpoint, I'm just saying, the NBA.
I knew he was going to bring Tyus Jones this whole thing.
You're dagger right. I'm going to let people know. I'm going to.
All right, speaking of the Spurs, man.
Sorry.
All right, the Spurs. Did yesterday's performance change your opinion about Aldridge as a good fit or a bad fit for the Spurs?
Nope. It just brings me back to LeBron James when he signed with the Heat and they lost to Boston on the first game of the season. Boston came out extremely excited. They had something to prove. You faced a Thunder team who.
Good point, Ray.
No, for real.
I'm dead serious.
A Thunder team who coming. You have your best player returning off an injury on the road. Greg Popovich is the best coach in the league. They'll be fine. Rome wasn't built in a day. That was LeBron James' quote right after that first game. You know, on to the next one. So. The Spurs will be fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. On another show I was on, it was like Aldridge wasn't good. You know, he wouldn't be a good fit.
Yeah, some people have been impulsive.
I know.
It's one game.
Like, come on now. Popovich is the coach. That's self-explanatory.
Exactly.
Like Pop, everybody fits in San Antonio.
Look,
everybody fits.
Patty
Mills. Who can win with those guys?
Let's be realistic.
A fat Boris Diaw.
Tim Duncan hasn't played with a guy who has a post present. David Robinson wasn't the David Robinson that he historically had been.
That's true.
So Tim Duncan has never played with a guy in the post that has that elite level of talent. So it's going to take a while for both of those guys to learn how to play off each other and also within the confines of what Popovich wants to do. So like you all said, LeBron said, Rome wasn't built in a day. Let's give it 25 games and I think we can thoroughly have a large enough sample size to make a judgment then.
Yeah, all the Spurs need to do is make the playoffs, to be honest.
That's all they need to do.
You just mentioned earlier, he's a strategist, so he's going to rest them throughout the season. He needs to. I don't think they're concerned about the regular season at all. I think there's some games, obviously, they're going to play they're gonna like Golden State visit. They're gonna play hard against a team like that. You know, who's coming off a championship, who's you know regarded as one of the best teams in the league at this point, if not the best team right now. So I expect them to show up in big games, but. The Spurs will be fine. Like I said, Popovich, he makes everybody who plays for him look good. Gary Neal isn't going to be good with the Wizards, in my opinion, but he looked good with Popovich, didn't he?
And also, let's be realistic. I think anyone who has seen the progression of that Spurs team, even though I do know that LaMarcus Aldridge only had one game with them so far, LaMarcus Aldridge isn't the number one option on offense for them.
Nope.
It's Kawhi Leonard. Everything is going to run through Kawhi. Tony Parker is going to bring the ball and set the offense, but the offense is going to run through Kawhi Leonard. Anyone who saw the Spurs towards the end of last season and then you saw them this first game and you saw them in the preseason, you know that they're entrusting a lot more and putting a lot more responsibility on Kawhi Leonard. So it's going to be Kawhi Leonard, then it's going to be and LaMarcus Aldridge. Those two have to really realize how to work together offensively. And then also with Duncan, you don't have to run plays for Duncan.
Oh, he's
for
him good to right
be.
Now.
He's still good, but he's still good. And if and when you do need to get him the ball down the post to run the offense, come on now.
Hey, he's efficient.
It's Tim Duncan.
He's yeah. always efficient.
But when I look at like you mentioned about Kawhi Leonard and Aldridge, who's going to be the number one, you know, or one number one A and one B. I think that's going to play its part. It's going to play out towards the middle of the season. I think once Aldridge, you know, gets acclimated, gets comfortable, I think eventually, you know, down the clutch. I mean, down the stretch during clutch time, Aldridge is the guy they'll go to because his post game is too fluent. And, you know, Ray, you know, I used to hate on Aldridge coming out of college, but his post work is fluent. So he's a guy that they will rely to down the stretch.
And
yeah.
You have to respect
I'm
shot.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, don't get wrong. Like Kawhi Leonard is a very improved player into what he can do on the court. But once Aldridge is acclimated and comfortable in that offense, he's going to be the number one option to me.
This is the thing. I don't know how you can hate on the Spurs.
You can't.
Sustained success. It's just like the Patriots. Everybody waits for them to have their bad year to fail. Brady's done. And it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Because they have the best coach in the league. And then and in this case, the Spurs have the best coach in the NBA.
All right, let's talk about the team. They did play OKC a little bit. So do you look at OKC as a team that can get to the finals now? Like KD's back. Cantor looks like he could be like – the sixth man of the year, 15, 10.
You know what's crazy about the whole Enes Kanter?
I did.
With them resigning Enes Kanter, ownership didn't want to go over the luxury tax for James Harden. And you ended up going over the luxury tax for Enes Kanter. And that's not to say, I think Enes Kanter, like I said last year when they brought him in, I think he's a guy that, you know, who's going to continue to develop and continue to be a good player. What?
He laughed at me. That's you. It's just me.
Nah, because I've been a Kanter fan.
He's a Kanter fan. I fried him.
He's assault me for that, man.
No, but I think the difference, I think the only thing that could potentially hold this OKC team back is A, injuries, and B, Billy Donovan. Those are the only two things that could hold this team back.
You don't think
injuries of Billy Donovan.
You don't think he's a bonus for this
Who,
team?
Billy Donovan?
Yeah.
I think – now, he did a great job by going out and getting Mo Cheeks and Monty Williams to be his top two lieutenants on the bench.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the NBA coaching experience. We saw what he's a championship pedigree coach in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. But it's different dealing with men who are multimillionaires, who make more than you, and who are conceived to have more power than you within the organization, i.e. Westbrook, i.e. Kevin Durant, especially Durant with his impending free agency. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how, if he's able to push the right buttons for this team, because we all know there's been some talk about how Russell Westbrook is a loose cannon, can be a handful to deal with.
I think people are just real over negative about Russell Westbrook. And I think people are just trying to create beef when it comes to what Russell Westbrook.
No, he's just extremely emotional, and you gotta love that. Billy Donovan, you know, I want to say he molded and developed a young Joakim Noah who is a similar type of person, who has a similar personality, and he dealt with him fine. I like Billy Donovan also because he is a defensive minded coach and a rebound and a coach that teaches rebounding, and that's why, you know, a lot of his Florida teams had success, even the ones that were not as talented. Do you know that some of his more talented offensive teams did not win? Yes. A la Mike Miller,
yes,
Teddy
sir.
Dupe, his team, and
Mike Miller was nasty in college too.
Exactly,
it's nasty.
But Mike Miller was a defensive liability his entire life.
He did get him to the Didn't they get to the finals championship? They lost to Michigan State.
With Mike Miller,
I thought so. I thought the year was in school. I could be wrong. I'm not going. I'm not going to be definitive.
We'll have to look it up.
I'm not going
to
be
have a stat person, unfortunately.
Yeah, we don't. I'm not going to be definitive either.
We need to
get folks to learn their lesson, man.
I learned my lesson. I said, I think so. I'm not sure. Anyway, late last night.
Like, I don't think Mike Miller was on that team.
Look, I'm not going to be definitive, dog. I'm not. You're not going to get. You're not going to get me.
What's the white guy's name? Headband, curly hair. What was his name? Y'all remember him? I cannot remember his name. He was, I want to say, a star in college.
You're not talking about David Lee. Are you talking about David Lee?
No. No, David Lee didn't have curly hair or a headband. Another guy that played for Florida.
Caucasian guy?
Yeah, I'll look him up while you guys continue talking.
Anyway, let's go to...
we talk about Minnesota. I know Tyus Jones didn't play. Even though it's one game, no, I'm going to overreact.
This dude here is like the funniest
dude. I'm going to beat a dead horse.
You are, man. Anyway, Kobe was back yesterday. The Lakers still lost to the Timberwolves. 112 to 111. But no, seeing Kobe, you know...
First of all, before we mention the Timberwolves, we got to say...
I got it right here. Before we get into the game... Per se, but let's just talk about, you know, a man who passed away and Flip Saunders, an innovator of offense. And from what I hear, just from, you know, some of the remarks about him, was a great man and a considerate individual. So before basketball, before his career in the world of sports, he was a great human. From what I heard, he was a great human being.
I think what's sad about it is it was such a rapid decline. And such a sudden loss. It wasn't as though he had been, his health had been lingering for a while, or he had been hospitalized or whatever. I know he had been going through treatments, but to hear initial reports that his former cancer was treatable and curable, him just seemingly dying. And also the report was he won't coach the season. Then bam, he lost his fight. I mean, it was just sudden. It wasn't, usually you hear reports like, their condition is grave or worsening. Mm-hmm. With Dean Smith, you heard that for a long time. I think Anthony Mason was similar, you know.
Yes, you heard
reports that he was improving. And then, you know, next thing you know, he was gone. So I think what hits home for me is that, you know, he once coached here. Randy Whitman is a Flip Saunders guy. And, you know, we got to see the type of man he was and how he developed men. And that's what John Wall said in his remarks in regards to just his relationship with Flip Saunders.
Even Andre Blatt said that, you know, after the fact, he was like, you know, I couldn't, you know, back then he didn't take him seriously. And he understands now that how great a person Flip Saunders was and how he did so much for him at his time in Washington.
Yeah, I was really saddened to hear of his passing. It's a testament to how he was as a man, just when you hear the outpour of love and support, just for his family and, you know, for those, his friends that are close to him, it lets you know that, outside of being a great coach, he was an even better man. And I think that's how anybody, whenever they leave this earth, they want to be remembered, is not for the work they did, but, their contribution and the way they made people feel.
And I totally agree with you on that note. And also just seeing, you know, what Kevin Garnett did on social media, sitting in his parking space, and, you know, Flip Saunders just pretty much, you know, giving him the salute, you know, and appreciate what he did for KD, knowing that was the guy who coached him for most of his career in Minnesota. So again, Flip Saunders will be missed. A guy that, again, an innovative offense in basketball. And also a guy to me who worked hard to get where he was at. He started in the CBA and he made it all the way to the NBA. So that's all. That's hard work, determination, and dedication. But to the game. So did anybody watch the game? You watched the last segment?
I watched the beginning part of the game. I was interested to see how Karl Anthony Towns held up.
So how'd you think?
I think Towns, he's going to be a player. I think he's going to be a player. He's going to be I don't think he'll immediately be as good as Jahlil Okafor, but I think he has the potential to be a player, to be someone that we look at 5 years from now and say, what?
Jahlil, he won't be as good as Jahlil Okafor. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okafor's a beast.
Did you watch? They're both going to be good, though.
They're both going to be good.
Okafor will be an all-star before Towns.
Whew. Well, I think
that's a bold statement.
No, it's a true statement. I agree. I think Okafor could be an all-star now. I think Towns is a beast. I think Towns is going to be an all-star regardless.
Towns' skill set makes him unique.
I don't know. I can't say he's more consistent.
Because Okafor, to me, disappeared at times in the tournament and during the season, although he's the best player on Duke. But if you watch him in the preseason, when he had a bad game, he had a bad game. I mean,
but there's so much pressure. Like, to me, against Towns, you're playing with like 10 or 12 talented people. The pressure for you to be great on any night isn't as much as Okafor playing with just three. Because basically, to be honest with you, they had three players that they really rock with in Duke. They really rock with. And then at the end, they had that kid who came out of nowhere, a kid that didn't get that much burn and got a lot of burn in the postseason for Duke. But Towns, I'm not going to knock Towns' talent.
Paulus.
He
was a McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, but he didn't get that much playing time during the season. Yeah. So I'm not going to knock Towns because Towns can do certain things that Okafor can't do. Like he can pick and pop. He can shoot a three ball. He's a good free throw shooter. But what Okafor does is that he's a guy that can get layups. He gets layups. And what I mean, he's in a post and he gets layup work. And that's something that you gotta appreciate. And he scored. He was 26. Think about it, he scored 26 yesterday. 26 points yesterday with, I think, 10 for 17 from the field. So he really got, I mean, Okafor alone showed you already, against a good, like we were talking about Boston Celtics, a hardworking team that doesn't give up nothing, scored 26 and on limited shots. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Who did he play against? Kelly Olynyk? And
you just stated that Boston doesn't give up anything.
I said they play hard.
They play hard. That's a hard 26.
And you were the same person told me, I don't give Bryce Harper credit just because he plays hard.
For me?
Yeah.
I could be. That's true. So,
I mean, you can.
Why do you always do that? I don't remember saying that.
You said somebody runs hard, he plays hard. That doesn't make him great. That doesn't make him
look
great.
But you're a believer in people who work hard, play hard. I mean, work hard. I say play hard. Work hard. That's you, though. You believe it. I'm not believing it. I got to use it for this argument.
Here's the thing. Okafor, don't get me wrong. He's an excellent talent. What you all pointed out is important, though, in the fact that Towns had a double-double last night, but did he have to score as many points as Okafor did? No.
No, he didn't because he has more talent around him.
I don't think he's as motivated as Okafor, though, because Okafor has had some doubts, and he didn't go number one as he thought he would originally. You know?
I think Okafor would have been okay. He would have been okay if he went two. I think because Russell got drafted.
He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, he does. He's definitely playing with a chip on his
shoulder. I like Okafor, by the way, versus like his boy. You know, clearly.
This is it. I'm like, stop mentioning Jones, dude. Stop it. All right? Jones got buckets in the tournament.
I can't wait. He's doing radio with us.
Wow.
We have him on.
Did you hear? Really, though?
What has Tyus Jones done to you?
Jay Williams is going to be on ESPN together.
Besides being your twin, what has he done to you?
It's because he's a Carolina fan. All right?
I'm not a Carolina fan. I'm a Maryland Eastern Shore fan.
Well, you know what you are. Don't get twisted. He grew up a Carolina fan. So there's automatically hatred for a Dookie.
No.
Automatic. He's an Okafor.
I was the same way with Trey Burks. When I see somebody who...
Why are you mentioning players that I ride with, dog? Are we doing that? Mention a player I don't ride with.
It's just that when I see something and I know it's a problem...
You like Adam Morrison, didn't you? You thought he was going to be good, though.
No, I didn't, actually.
Jim Fredette, you probably
thought
he
was
good.
No.
Okay, we were saying with Adam Morrison.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Right. To be honest with you, I thought Tim Hardaway Jr. left too early.
He did. Seriously? No, he did, though.
I don't like to see these guys who make the college game exciting leave early and become just an average dude. Tyus Jones was an exciting college player, you know what I mean? But he wasn't ready for the league, though.
So, real quick, do you think that you're stupid? Do you think that you think Minnesota could be the new up and coming young team like the OKC was back in the day or like Sacramento was back in the day?
Yeah, I absolutely think they do. I think they have the right.
You don't think so, right?
I think that's a stretch.
The pieces are there. I think if you look at this team and you look at the pieces, you got Wiggins who's definitely on his way. Only thing that he's really lacking is the consistency to be in the ball handling consistency. and that dog in him to be a superstar.
He's got the dog.
Who, Wiggins?
Yeah, Wiggins.
Oh, man. He does have it in
don't,
him.
Don't, man.
He's got it in him. He's got a killer instinct.
He hasn't shown that killer instinct.
I was watching it. If you watch the game, like last night's game, even like Mark Jackson, you know, he hypes everything. He was like, I don't see it. Like, why is he not like trying to go at anybody? Like, Kobe was checking him. Like, just go at Kobe. He wasn't even trying to go at Kobe.
But he did that last season, though.
I'm just saying, with game
when
I saw.
Played against LeBron James, I mean, he definitely elevated his game. Well, scored, like, well, 30, he scored 36 points.
Well, I know. Well, that's personal.
So he's proven. I think you lose your coach. I think you're going to go out frazzled anyway,
to be honest. That's a good point.
Let me finish. Then you add in Zach LaVine. Then you add in Shabazz Muhammad. Then you add in Karl Anthony Towns.
It's a beast, huh?
Then you add what's his
you watch him play? He was getting buckets yesterday.
What's the other guy from Louisville? Great.
He's a bum. Gordy Dent is a bum.
LaVine is emerging and he's gonna make a big difference for
you.
Him.
Don't see, like Shabazz Muhammad.
My only issue is how do you keep that young nucleus together?
You don't like Shabazz Muhammad either. You just liked him after that game.
I just started liking him.
That's what I'm saying.
I did like him in the turn because he kept forcing it to like 80 different shots. But I like him now, though. Shabazz.
You didn't like him coming out of high school.
No, I thought he was overrated coming out of high school.
He was.
But I like him now, though. I can change. You could change.
I know.
The world could change, dude.
I'm trying to change him because of Trey Burke, but he's got to do something.
Trey Burke
can't go 0-2 in your first game.
Why are you always – why? Like, who's – I'm sure there's a college player that you thought would be like that and just doesn't get buckets.
Silence. I don't know.
I can't call it out though.
Can you think of any?
No, because I suck. My memory sucks. It's age.
Can you think of any?
Age sucks for me. I'm sorry. I won't lie to you. All right. So you like D'Angelo Russell's good? Because he's horrible to me.
No. I never thought he was good. But
I think he's special. I think he has something.
I can name one. What is his name?
I'm gonna get back to you with D'Angelo Russell.
What's the shooting guard's name? He played for the Rockets. He was part of the Harden deal. Played for the
Lamb.
Thunder. Lamb. I thought Lamb was going to be.
That's a count because I think the same thing. That's a count because I thought the same thing.
I thought Lamb was something different.
I thought
he was going to be an excellent NBA player. So I was shocked. I'm kind of shocked that he wasn't.
He got screwed with that one.
But I was right about Norris Cole, though.
Oh, don't say
that. Wait, but Norris Cole about what? He's going to be like that?
He's going to be a good NBA player.
He's an okay NBA player. He's not
special. He came from Cleveland State.
Well, it doesn't matter. You sliced it like he was going to be the next big thing. I saw him in the tournament. He cried and considered.
You know what though? Because of your negative influence, I didn't think that Damian Lillard was going to be good because I didn't see enough of him in college. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going. Because Wally said that. What is the dude's name that played for the Wizards?
Oh, Daniels. Exactly. Antonio Daniels. Like, messed up my whole life.
So be careful. You know,
Antonio Daniels messed up my whole life.
Same thing with what's his name? He played for Detroit. Point guard. They say he was the next D Wade, but he played.
Oh, Stucky.
Stucky. Right. He played for UAB. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to really anoint him because of Wally, you know? Sometimes I lose out when I listen to you. That's why I don't.
Yeah, good job.
Which is why we can't think of anybody. I just been flat out wrong. But I said Aldridge was going to be a great NBA.
No, I'm not talking anymore.
I said Enes Kanter was going to be. I said that from day one.
Enes Kanter, don't worry. You're good. No, you're good. You guys don't worry about it. It's only the mic thing, man. Hey, Will T, let's go to Will T. You talk about D'Angelo Russell.
I think I think the kid could be special. I really do. If he focuses and he puts the effort into his game, you clearly saw at Ohio State, the kid has a skill set. He's able to elevate a team. If you watch Ohio State games consistently, you saw a trajectory. You saw a guy who got better as the season went on. You saw a guy who became a better floor leader, good vision, a guy who played well in the pick and roll game. Now, what he's been doing thus far in the season, I don't know. Maybe it's the L.A. limelight has gotten to him. Maybe he's having issues adjusting to the NBA game. But D'Angelo Russell, the kid, has a skill set that can make him. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star. I think if you give him time, he'll be an all-star.
You sound like you're backtracking, but
no, I do think I'm saying what he's shown you now.
No,
I don't think is what. But does he have a skill set?
You remind me of
what?
Evan Turner. That's what he reminds me of.
No. Hey, Evan Turner is better than him.
No. I think he is too, but to a point where everybody expected, because Evan Turner could do so much, they expected him to be this, you know, this thorough player, like a 20-point scorer coming up. But
Evan Turner didn't play. Evan Turner's game is longly below the rim. He doesn't have the elite athleticism.
I don't think Russell has elite
athleticism. Plays like he has lead in his feet. Like, he can't move.
Yeah, seriously.
And if you're playing against John Wall, Russell Westbrook, problem, Chris man. Paul, you're not going to be able to keep up. Emmanuel Mudiay is way quicker.
I think Mudiay is better.
He is better. better.
Mudiay has a better physically, yes. Mudiay is superior to him.
If Kobe Bryant was who he used to be, Russell could be easily be a great Derek Fisher, a more skilled Derek Fisher. Hit the open shots. His game is smooth, but he's slow. He reminds me of Mike Beasley. He just looked like he drinks NyQuil before he plays. I mean, he just a step behind everybody. So that's my point. Mike Beasley, to me, worked on his athleticism and he got better. Because he clearly has superior talent, which D'Angelo Russell doesn't. He just had a good college resume. He's Wally Szczerbiak. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who you play good. To be honest with you, Bradley Beal the same way. You know, you make your name at the end of your college career and it bumps your draft status. Deion Waiters. Did anybody think Deion Waiters was going to be a top pick? Heck no, we didn't. And look at him now. And he's faster.
He's faster. Yeah,
he's faster than Russell.
He is a little faster. All right, so real quick, give me your prediction of who's going to be rookie of the year.
That's a good one. Oh, Jahlil Okafor.
Okafor?
Yep.
What'd you tell?
Tyus Jones. I said, no, I'm messing with you. I'm going to stop.
You're the worst dude ever.
Well, You're trolling me right now, son.
Why are you trolling me?
Let me backtrack on that. Yeah, I think
that was horrible.
I think possibility a co-rookie of the year.
There'll be Townsend. What's the name? Townsend?
Who? Stanley Johnson. And
how did he do his first game? I'm just asking.
He didn't do great.
No, I'm asking because I don't know.
Yeah, Stanley Johnson and Jahlil Okafor.
Porzingis look all right so far.
Porzingis, yeah, he look. I just don't know if physically he'll be able to hold up. Yeah.
You know who look? I mean, Jahlil Okafor is a good pick, actually. I like that. And I'm going to go. It's going to be between him and Justice, his man. Because Justice Winslow is ready for the NBA.
You think so? I don't think so.
He ain't going to get the time. You see how Gerald Green is balling?
Right. That's going to be his number one issue. But if he does, if injuries play a factor like they did before and he gets a chance, he's ready to where he can have a solid season. I'm going to go with Okafor. I'm going to go with the safe pick. I'm not going to lie.
I'm with Justice. I'm writing this down.
What?
You say you're going to do well. I ain't forgetting this one.
No. I said he can do well if he gets the time. I agree with Will, right?
You don't think
he's got an NBA ready body? You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, he has an NBA. I don't think he's going to get the time.
Justice. I'm writing this
right. I don't think he's going to get the time. I just don't think he's going to get
You want to have your one.
He's going to be a star?
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
How big is going to be?
You didn't.
You said he'd be a solid pro.
What's solid pro? What are the stats for a solid pro?
Better than Trey Burke.
So he would be better than Trey Burke?
His rookie year, yes.
No, period. It's going to be better than Trey Burke.
Yeah, I'll say that. I'm not scared. Trey Burke is good this year, but I'm not scared.
Trey
Burke. All right. I'm not scared.
I'm going with Okafor to be rookie of the year.
All of us did.
That's what I'm talking about. A group win. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway. Quick predictions then.
Just going to have the opportunity.
The teams are going to the NBA Finals. Which teams are going to the NBA Finals? Which two teams?
I'm going with the Thunder versus the Cavs.
Will T?
I'm going with Clippers versus the Cavs.
I'm going Cavs versus San Antonio. Who wins?
Clippers.
Clippers. Okay.
Whoa. I'll take the Thunder.
I'll take San Antonio. Dang, everybody's going to get the cut. No, nobody go LeBron. Oh, MVP.
Steph.
Steph's cool. I'll go. LeBron.
I'm going to go with Steph.
Coach of the year.
Oh, that's Brad Stevens. All day. I'm going to even go even bolder. Brad Stevens gets that team to a top four spot in the East.
Ooh.
I'm not buying the Bucks, but you know, I like J. Kidd. I'm not going to go with him, though. Coach of the year. If the Wizards small ball works out, Randy Whitman will be the coach.
I was going to say that's too. That's a good one. I was going to say that
too. I'll take Randy Whitman, although I think he's going to get fired.
Still my idea. Yeah, I'm gonna go with You know what? Yeah. I'm gonna go with Donovan.
That's a good one.
You don't go with Donovan.
That's off the beaten path right there. That's a good one.
Prediction.
It's a bold prediction. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just gotta go that way, man.
Anyway,
you know what I'm saying? You gotta
lose that paper, by the way.
I will. I know. I'll throw it away. But I'm gonna keep a mental note for this. Usually I forget everything in his mama, but I'm gonna remember this. But anyways, by the time for our retro segment, you know what I mean? Go hard in the paint time.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Who cares?
I go hard in them flock of pain.
Alright. Who wants to go first? Go ahead, Will. Oh, yeah. He had like 20 something. Yeah. Is he starting now? That's my dude, though. That's my dude.
I always thought, even though that draft didn't have a lot of talent,
yeah.
I always thought he was talented. I thought he had some talent.
Alright, Ray G, you want? I'm gonna take Otto Porter. He had 7 points in game one. He was off. It's 3 for 10. But over the weekend, I see him going ham, having probably get 15 points per, you know, a game going over the weekend. So I'm got Otto Porter going hard in the paint, and I'm biased. This is Georgetown.
I'm gonna go Bradley Beal. I like the way he started the season. Hopefully, he comes in with a chip on the shoulder and shows some emotion. So I'll go Bradley.
Yeah, you all about emotion. I feel you. Yeah. All right, man. We get back from break. We'll be talking about the Washington Redskins. I hate you. The Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins executes the code
you
red.
Like that?
Say it again.
You like that?
It's the Urban Sports Saint.
The age.
You dig?
Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times. Without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
All right. Back from break. Love you, Skylar Diggins. Thanks for giving me a shout out. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. I ain't paying attention. Y'all just sitting down. I ain't doing nothing. Same time minutes. They go anytime. Anytime minutes.
Give me your time to shine.
What time to shine? Everybody get their time to shine. Nah. New kid the block get their time to shine. What's that joint? Was it Mace joint? Mace
joint. All of them get their time to shine. So what about you, son?
Oh, man.
For those of you too young, Mace, 1997. Mad Rapper Interlude. Harlem World album.
Yeah, great album. D Dot Angeletti was the Mad Rapper's real name.
Yes, sir.
That's his name for real?
Yeah. D Dot, the producer.
For real?
Yeah, that's
what Stalin, man. You didn't watch.
I am.
You didn't watch Joe MTV.
Don't he
rap?
Look like you? Kylo Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Jonah.
He does. He did.
He do. He look just like him.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
Look.
Oh, he do. Oh, no. Oh, my God. No.
I'm not Jonah. I'm no,
just. You are Jonah. It's all good.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
I'm just pointing out a fact.
Look at Derek Fisher, man. He a beast, man. No comment.
You didn't even ask.
I smashed the homies.
The sixth man of the year award. You didn't ask about that.
All right, excuse me, sixth man.
Enos
Cantor. Enos Cantor, my pick. Enos Cantor.
I said that in my blog.
You said first, though.
Check my blog out, people.
We all agree. Oh, you wrote a blog?
Oh, yeah, he did a while ago.
Yeah.
A while ago, huh?
No. Eastern Conference Finals. I just came out about 2 weeks ago.
Blog per week.
I was about to write another one, but Wally kind of stole my thunder, so now I got to switch it up.
We trying to get a blog a day.
Hello? West Coast. Hey, Rev.
Are we prepared for our guest?
Yeah, about to be ready.
This is what happens on live radio, people.
Will and my man Ray Jeezy.
Absolutely. The one and only, Kylo Quinn.
So go ahead, Ray, introduce my man Rev T for me real quick.
Rev T, what's happening, brother?
I can't hear you now. I said just after.
Can he hear me now?
No, he can't.
I don't know. What college did he go to? I need some information first. Well, how tall is he? Standing at 6'3". Out of DMV. All
right.
What kind of introduction can I give?
I don't know. We about to do it right now. Here we go. Hey, we have one of the best Redskin fans in the business.
The most loyal.
The loyal. He's like the pastor. Now I'm not talking about Troy. My man Ray, what's good?
Man, what's going on with y'all, man? I'm sitting here on the urban sports scene, you know, feeling like a meme machine with my man Wally and Ray and who else up on
my man
here,
Ice
man?
Willie T.
You say
Ice
what?
Willie T.
You Ice Willie T.
Yeah.
You ain't say Ice, did you? You
I said Ice,
Ice
Willie
right?
T.
Nah, not SBU. No.
You know you gotta watch your name if your first name Ice and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, it's just weird. That's the nickname I give him, man.
Hey, what's going on with my brothers, man? On the urban sports thing. What's good, bro?
Everything is good, man. How do you feel about that big win by Captain Kirk? You like that, man? You like that?
Oh man, I like that. But listen here, though, I like to see it more on a consistent basis.
Yes, sir. And on the road,
you know, we can celebrate. Listen here, we can celebrate today, but you got to understand one thing for sure. When I was talking on the Red Sea Sports Revival on Tuesday night, we was discussing that the joy is here today. But understand the storm is going to come tomorrow. Because see what Kirk Cousins has done to himself, he's made himself a mock man. Because if you like that, they're going to expect you to show up like that every week from here on out. And y'all know Miss Captain Kirk, that's my road dog right there.
Yeah.
And y'all know for sure, one thing for sure, she know this too, that at the end of the day, he got to show up, or guess what they going to do to him? They going to ship him right on out like they did RG3.
You know, Miss Captain Kirk, she wouldn't like that, though. She wouldn't like you talking like that, right?
But listen here, though. She'll tell it to the young and she'll tell it to the old. She'll tell you she love her some Captain Kirk, but guess what? She love more of that burgundy and gold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So what you got to understand is, that was a good win for the city, for the people, for the organization. But guess what, though? We still got work to do.
So, all right, so you mentioned Kirk Cousins real quick. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. Do you think he can continue this play?
I believe if he could continue on this pace. Yes, I do. But the thing is, Gruden and McVay have to make sure that cuff that they took off of him for the last 2.5 quarters of that game, they have to make sure those same cuffs stay off of him and let him do his thing. And he's more, they work better when they in an up-tempo offense. Did y'all notice that?
Yeah, I know. I peeped it. I mean, I felt like
when Kirk Cousins is in the up-tempo offense, it's like he creates magic. He makes plays. And guess what? Another thing that hurry up our offense will do. Some people call it the 2-minute offense. Some people call it the 4-minute offense. But however, if you run it with a fast snap count, it throws the defense offset because they don't get a chance to see, oh, they might be running this. So they can make a quick adjustment. They get up to the line and call it, and then you get those big defensive linemen huffing and puffing. Then guess what that does? It creates holes for that running back to run.
Hey.
If not up the A gap, then it allow him to do counter moves to cut back and go run up the C gap, that outside cut that they like to do.
I tell you what else. This is Ray, by the way. You know who else loving Kirk Cousins? That's Jordan Reed, and he's about to get DeSean Jackson back. It could be scary. They just got to do it on the road. What you think?
Well, Jordan Reed needs to stay healthy, Jay. It was nice to see Jordan Reed go out there and get 2 touchdowns. But next week, though, when Jordan Reed get hit, when he go, it's like when you look at Jordan Reed, it's like you got to think of RG3, but in a tight end's body, though. Is he going to get hit? Is he going to get back up? Is he going to get hurt?
You think Jordan Reed is that? I mean, RG3, you think he flip-flops like that when he gets hit?
Hey man, it is what it is, man. I listen here, my I'm not just saying stuff just so I can hear myself. I'm giving you facts. Go look what history has told us. Where has he complete 16 games?
That's true.
I just feel Chris Cooley, he's the best tight end the Redskins have had in a while.
Man, this Chris Cooley not to get back. I wish y'all stopped saying that. Listen here. Chris Cooley, he was a good player, sure. But Chris Cooley was on the watch of the Redskins at the time. But guess what? A receiver couldn't catch the ball.
We had Santana back then. What you talking about?
Man, only thing they like to do to Santana was throw deep to him and throw across the lane to Santana on long slant routes. I mean, let's don't start that with me. Stop it.
Hey, Ray, I need you to do this for me before you leave the show, though, man. Can you give me that good old? And we going to the bye. So I mean, I'm gonna have you next week about so you can get the Redskin fan, the Redskin.
Do I gotta go right now? I wasn't trying to go. What time y'all get off the air?
Are you trying to go now? You want to stay on for a little? You want to stay on for a minute?
Man, we wasn't finished talking about the game, man.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and talk about the game, Ray. Ray, I'm gonna let you wrap. I gotta go to another segment.
Man, well, you gotta take a commercial or something. Nah. What we doing for you?
No, Ray, I got this, bro.
come to Ray's corner. On 15th and G Street, you want TVs? Ray Ray got it. You want the police? Ray Ray gone. Listen here, y'all. Y'all here on the Urban Sports Scene with my man Jay. Hey, my man Wally. Hey, say your name too so they know you on here too.
My man.
See what I mean?
Ice Will T.
Man, I know that, man. I was just playing with you, man. You be mad, Will, if I called you Ike. You know what I'm saying? I would have said
I appreciate that, brother, because I hate the ice.
Man, let's talk a little bit more football, man.
What you think about Breshad Breeland's play, that tackle he made, that game-saving tackle?
Breshad Breeland, again, I'm going to say it, Ram T Sports Revival, and y'all more welcome, your listeners more welcome to tune in, and y'all more welcome to always, man, call in and join my panel and sit in anytime. You just call in and say, Rev, I'm here to talk. And guess what we going to say? We going to say Wally or Ice Will. You know what I'm saying? Say what?
Ray.
Man, I know what I was going to say, man. you know I'm in character right now. So you know I got to talk like an old man,
we
man.
We good, man. I know
man,
that.
Why you doing this to me, man? Come on, man.
You know we family, man. We family, man.
I know. We got visions, but for all our listeners right now here on the Urban Sports Scene, understand one thing, what y'all hear is history in the making, because come what may, however we going to do it, we going to have an all-black lineup on somebody's network. I'm talking about from morning, noon, to the midday to make you go to sleep at night. We gonna set you on fire. See, you got to understand in this world that the urban sports scene is the foundation of how we gonna step out and make our proclamation. Did I say that right? I said it right.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Preaching.
So the thing about it right here on the urban sports scene is what you getting is brothers sitting down talking sports. What you getting down to is brothers sitting there delivering sports, because you know why? Brothers, we can talk sports, and we don't have to have to play in the league, and we don't have to have a uniform on or been on this station or this thing. We can talk sports just like anybody else.
I'm with you, my man.
That's what we talking about, the Redskins. Y'all brothers out here getting it. We out here getting it. And guess what? One day we going to sit at the table and we going to eat pork chops. We going to eat chitlins. We going to eat fatback and collard greens, macaroni and cheese. And we going to eat grandma's chitlins. And guess what? We going to laugh and we going to see. We going to have a big celebration and talk about where we started at from the bottom and how we just rose up to the top.
Amen. Preach it, bro. So, all right. Real quick before we let you go, Breeland. Like, so what do you think about, like, that? Obviously, you know, Gruden said that play, Breeland play was a game saver.
That's Dale Green. That's Dale Green, 2K15.
I said the same thing.
That young boy, once he figure out how to cut on the brakes to really get those interceptions, he's going to be the best one-on-one coverage cornerback in the NFL. You know who he remind me of?
Who?
If I went too far back from some of the youngsters when I said Dale Green, but you know everybody say Dale Green.
Of course.
What's it called? Daryl Green. You asked a little 3-year-old baby right there. Daryl Green. She don't even know who Daryl Green is. My thing is making the diarrhea from eating greens. But listen here, though. You see, you know what I'm saying? But listen here, though. Champ Bailey. The young boy remind me of Champ Bailey, too.
Yeah, he's something special. He's aggressive.
If he can stay healthy, man, and the young boy Richardson, he's nice, too. It's just he got to learn how to tackle better. But one thing you got to give up about Richardson, you might beat him on one play, but that doesn't take away from his heart. If anything, that builds him up a little bit more. And he's out there making plays, man. But before I let y'all go here on the Urban Sports Scene, I just want to thank y'all for having me on. And like I say, man, y'all always welcome to come to the Rev T Sports Survival, WBAD Radio, WBAD.net. Tuesdays 8 to 10, man, we be live. And I think Wally, you coming to join me for the last 30 minutes of my show, right?
Yeah, you know it. I'll be there.
So we know we gonna break you, you know, break your mind, man, down. You got to break the skins down for us, man, and come deliver your sermon, because that's how we roll.
I want
but
that.
But before I go, I know this is the bye week.
Yeah.
But on the urban sports scene, see what we did was it wasn't about you like that. It was about that we came back. Why? Because we had halftime adjustments. And when you can adjust, guess what? You can elevate yourself. But what you really saw was you saw fans that was frustrated. But guess what? They stayed dedicated. Because in their final minutes, in their final rounds, you saw the faithful few of the Burgundy Gold stand up with all their power. And guess what they were saying? Hell to the Redskins. When they was down 24 to nothing, guess what they were saying? Hell to the Redskins. So when they went up 31 to 30, guess what they had the right to say? Hell to the Redskins. Hell to the Redskins. Fight for ODC right here on the Urban Sports Scene. My man Will Wally. Hey, listen here. Did I mess it up? Oh, no, I ain't messing up. And my man Ray, you know what it is. Urban Sports Scene, baby. Believe. At Rev T in DC, baby. Watch with me.
My man, stay blessed. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that, Red.
Are you back? Are we back? Did I mess something up? Are we good? I could barely hear my. Am I here? Yeah, I hear. Yeah, we're here. We good. We good. We good. Yeah, that was my man Rev. Appreciate the call, Rev. Always.
Rev always. Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Washington football fan, but Rev even gets me hyped talking about the team. Just hearing him talk about his infectious spirit when it comes.
Yeah, to you want them to win when you hear Rev talk. I feel like a guy like him who's been loyal deserves it.
He deserves it for 20 plus years of misery. He deserves it.
Why you gotta say it like that, dude?
It is 20 plus years of misery.
That's 20 plus years of misery.
20 plus years of misery.
Don't worry, the New York Knicks on that same path too, son. Keep going
it's
with
all
that.
Good. It's all good. I don't ever claim that. You don't. When have you heard me say, "Oh, this our year as a Knicks fan"?
It's going what? What? What?
Say,
what?
This our year as a Knicks fan. I have tempered expectations.
Well, you got to speak. I'm gonna play a bunch of bites. Actually, I'm gonna go through it because we had to spend a lot of time with Rev T.
Contact, man.
What? You all
right? Oh, yeah.
I know, right? Swallow it right now. You swallow it? Downstairs. Oh, yeah. Don't do it. It's the urban.
It's the urban. Urban sports.
The herb. Yes. The herb. Yeah.
The urban.
It's a whole different beast. It's a whole different beast, man.
Hey, by the way, Rev, you still listening? Hey, I'm vegan, bro.
I don't eat pork either, bro.
So we gonna have some collard greens with nothing but some Mrs. Dash, like my homegirl told me the other day, and sea salt.
I don't even know at all.
Seasoning.
You don't know Mrs. Dash?
I do. What's that? Adobo?
Adobo? That's the Spanish.
That's why. That's stuff I use. It's international stuff. No, I use that stuff.
Oh.
Come on, dude. Ain't no shots out here. I ain't you. No shots fired. Anyway,
I'm gonna play. You shop in the grocery stores when you come out. You gotta Febreze yourself.
Anyway, I didn't mess with you, man. I got sound bites from Hopkins from his onside kick, Ryan Grant from his touchdown, his first touchdown of his career, in that game against the Tampa Bay.
Put it in context. You attended the game.
Go ahead. I attended the game last
Sunday. Wally was there at the game last Sunday. The press box pass, covering the game.
Right. Yeah, covering
and
the game.
For the urban sports scene. The BDSI.
No, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Radio. Wally had access to the post game, to the locker room, and to the press conference.
Thank you, appreciate it. So I'll play it all. I'll play it all. And I actually had a question with Jay Gruden about Breland. He actually responded to it, so you'll hear it too. So you listen. Yeah, so make sure your headphones on, dog.
There you go,
bro. Appreciate it.
The Yohawks, the
pool. Deal with that.
Yes, sir. Jay's thing here, I think he called it magic. You've answered. I'm sorry. But had you heard that? And why are you so effective at that?
I don't know. I just say I've been fortunate with the bounces so far. I mean, I work at it, but at the same time, a lot of times you're at the mercy of the bounce, you know? And I guess if I was that magic, Adam, we'd have four by now, you know. But it's nice to get one in a game that where it mattered, you know. And not that others didn't, but this was a huge, it was a turning point in the game.
Hey there, question. You got your first touchdown, NFL touchdown, right?
Yo.
How'd it feel, man?
It's cool, man. Great feeling. But man, you know, to me, stats don't mean nothing. It's all about winning. You know, at the end of the day, I'm just glad that we were able to win and come out with the victory.
But still should give you some confidence, though, right?
When
you
for sure. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Do you feel you can build on this?
Most definitely.
Just keep going, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I think it's right now.
Coach, could you talk about Breland's play on Martin, who had an opportunity to score that touchdown, that stop, hustling from the other end of the field to stop Martin?
Play of the day. They score there, the game's over. And that shows what type of guy he is. And I talk about Breland being an ultimate competitor. If he takes that one play off for one instance, they go up by 10 and the game's over, most likely. And he hustled, got him down at the 5. We got the big stop, held in a field goal. We go down and score. So I think there's a lot of plays. And we go back and watch this film, I think there's a lot of effort plays like that. There's a lot of things we can improve on, obviously. But when you see effort plays like that, they stand out and they make your team better in the long run.
All the other receivers were on the other side. You were the only guy on the side that you were on. I think you guys used that play earlier in the game also, right? Talk about that play.
Oh, that's a poke right slot. You know, it just creates a mismatch with the safety and I. And, you know, my job is just to get open and create some breaks.
You like that? You like that?
Real quick, just wanted to know, like, where you get your passion from, man? It seems like everybody feeds off of you offensively. It seems like it.
I just enjoy playing and, you know, getting the job done. Whatever it takes to get done.
So, obviously, our first deal, probably had a good third quarter. Right, so did you have to say anything in the locker room to get everybody rounded up?
No, I ain't got to say nothing. You know, I do all my talking on the field.
Is he on 5 seconds? You're on now, right? You know y'all on right now.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, y'all on right now.
Oh, wow.
You on?
No shade, Tony Cohen.
You on right now?
You can hear me now.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. You're on.
I thought we had a break. Well,
no, nah, it actually was a minute. Yeah, no, hey, it was racing commercial.
Listen, no shade to my man Tony Kornheiser. I love your show, but Dan Le Batard, that show is great. It's essentially Tony Kornheiser's show, but except it's a national show.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of elements to it. I love both of this show.
Well, there's no Poppy on Tony Kornheiser.
There's no Poppy. You know what I mean? Because like Kirk Cousins would say, you like that.
You like that? You like that?
That's going to be
one more time. One more time. One more time for you, Will, too.
You like that?
You like that. Exactly.
I mean, it's good to finally
see. Was that the locker room?
Yeah, he just ran. He just ran right out. Just like, you like that? You like that?
You know what's good?
Unflappable.
It's actually good to see him. It's actually good to see him show some type of emotion.
Thank you.
It's good. It's
you know what? He's NFC player of the week.
If he's the leader of your team, you want to see the leader of your team show some type of. Now, you know, during the bad times, you want to see them be on even keel.
Yeah.
But, you know, when times of celebration, you want to show he's one of the guys.
That. That's that Latimer from the program.
I know.
You would think he was on some type of steroids.
Anyway, yeah, but.
You think he looks like Owen Wilson? Check this picture out that I have. For real. And now, this wasn't the best picture, but look at it, though. A little bit.
Definitely strong similarities.
Very, very. Anyway, it's about time. Well, anyway, yeah, we might go to a break. But Ryan Grant, big ups to you, first touchdown in your NFL career. Breland, like I mentioned, I talked to Coach. That was the biggest play of the game. Him running from the other side of the field to tackle. He does look like that. He does look like Owen Wilson. Him running from the other side of the field, tackle the muscle hamster or what is his name?
Muscle hamster.
Yeah, Doug Martin. He doesn't like that name though. Doug Martin, Thank you, Duncan Martin, for my fantasy team. I did play him against the Redskins, and he helped me win. Thank you. Appreciate it.
How does that work out?
Works out pretty fine.
There's no ethical dilemma there for Wally at this point.
No, not at all.
I was going to say, as a fan, a guy who truly considers himself a fan,
yeah.
So when you see Doug Martin, so do you root for Doug Martin to, what, run 80 yards but not
Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. In that play, I was hoping he got stopped. But I want them yards, too.
That's perfect.
Because, look, did the Redskins win?
Yes.
Did Doug Martin have a good game?
Yes.
I won.
Win-win. That's a win-win.
Look, years ago, when I had Randy Moss on my team, you know what I mean? Years ago, the Redskins got to be 52-7. I knew the Redskins were going to lose that game. Why have those stats omitted? Come to me. Help me win. And it did.
Wally learned a hard lesson, bitching people that played against the Redskins. Yeah.
Never again. If Redskins want to give up points, who am I not to take advantage of it? Who am I?
I hear you, man.
You know what I mean? Anyway, it's time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll be talking more NFL, Ravens, season over. Should Steve Smith be traded? And also our picks. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi. This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Y'all try to make her next month sitting up there. Fucking shred the shit up.
How much money is that?
Yellow beats, holla at me.
And you be some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
Shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't a get up on my trap house, I've been selling since like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with this
shit.
That told me flip them packs and how to maintain.
The
get that money back and spend it on
like
the same
Tim
thing.
Of WWE. Shorty he like never the way retired. That I bought. I don't like the, I don't like HH anymore. So yeah, so I don't call him by his name anymore. Nah,
shorty love the way that I
the blonde head dude that used to wear yellow.
Yeah, that was your childhood hero, man.
Yeah, it was. I did rhyme with that. Keep calling me out, son.
Can you say that on the show?
Because that ninja is reckless, man.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did anything like that as a kid. You know what I mean?
Why you got sights like that? No. I don't think I ever did anything like that as a kid. We about to go overtime. I can
think
tell
he's
already.
A mystical character. I thought that I didn't believe in Santa Claus. You know, I was one of them dudes. I've been a realist. You know what I mean? I watched the news. I heard about Rayful Edmond and Alonzo Mourning. You know what I'm saying? But
I know Alonzo Mourning. I don't know about Rafer though. I ain't know about. I ain't care about Rafer. Yeah, we on. We talking real stuff right now.
It is real.
It's some real stuff. Talking about Hulk Hogan.
So you didn't listen to like Daz Dillinger?
Nah, I didn't.
As a kid, so you
I listened to like the radio, Compton,
right?
Nah, I did. I got the after fact.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I got that stuff after the fact. Like I waited till I got to high school, started buying stuff like that.
But you were a good baseball player. I gave you credit for that. You know what I mean? I could highlight some good things from your childhood based on what I heard. You blew your opportunity to become a D1 baseball player. You know
I hate this dude. I hate this dude. You would piss me off today.
I was telling you that as an encouraging thing. And then you came back like, you know what? I thought about it after the fact. You know, I was mad about that. So I was like, dang, really? That wasn't my intention. I was just trying to encourage you.
Ray got me pissed off. You trying to say, like, I quit baseball, right?
I didn't say you quit baseball.
I quit baseball. I purposely, like, acknowledged that I quit baseball. And then Ray was like, "Dang, you know what? You could went to Eastern Shore and got like scholarships off that alone."
There is a group of people in this world that made choices. Okay, you got Eddie Curry, right? You got Mike Sweetney, Sean Kemp. They chose to eat. That's what you did. You know what I mean? Hardee's triple cheeseburger with chili on it, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
You know what, man?
Blame it on your knee injury. Like I ain't worried about. I work.
Hey, man. Folks, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene right now. I can't even deal with this dude right now, man.
Chili cheese fries.
Oh, my God.
They were amazing. You know it.
They were awesome.
We used to go to a buffet one day.
I won't go to an Indian buffet, but a good one. Another one. I mean, the one in Laurel's not bad, though.
I got some time coming up in November, man.
I'm serious. I want an Indian buffet. I want all the samosas.
As a matter of fact,
samosas,
my birthday is the 14th. I'm off the days leading up to that, starting Veterans Day. You know, maybe on that Friday.
I'm down. Like Tyson's back. Like Tyson's back in the day. And we did Tyson's.
Oh yeah,
Tyson's buffet. They closed that thing. Terrible, man. You know what? I want to talk about the Ravens, but I don't need to talk about them anymore. They're 1-6. They're irrelevant.
That don't even sound right.
But Steve Smith though, they should trade Steve Smith.
He's already come out and said if they trade him, he's going to quit.
For real? Mm-hmm. Why?
He said he started something. He's going to finish.
Why is he always an angry black man? He's always an angry black man.
I respect that. I respect
that.
He should go back to Carolina.
See, that's how Tony Gonzalez wasn't.
Nah, he'll never go back to Carolina.
Tony Gonzalez wasn't like that. He wanted to be traded to Seattle in effort to win a Super Bowl. He still would have came up short in that game against the Patriots. Was it? No, actually, that wasn't the same game. No, he would have won a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, buddy. But yeah, thank you, Steve Smith, for being loyal. And I you know, being the fact that we're the same height, you're one of the people that I can relate to. Santana Moss, you know, he's the same height as me, but he disrespected me in the club years ago.
So no, he did. He,
yes, he did.
He was hanging. Y'all were hanging together.
No, we weren't hanging together.
He said, that's Miss New Booty
you
right
see how, you see how I look at him?
He embraced Ray like it was his brother. He said, that's Miss New Booty right chair.
Nah, man. I was about to James Kirkland that dude, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't put your hands on me, dog.
He grabbed that dude.
Tell the story.
I landed in the Redskins VIP.
Because Ron was like, everybody thought Ron was Randy Thomas.
Okay.
So somehow I ended up, and the dude literally took me by my neck with his arm. And I mean, he was drunk. I mean, he clearly was impaired. But I mean, his lips was nearly on my ear. He was like, hey, what's going on, man? That's Miss New Booty right there. I just looked down like, hold up. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know who he was. I'm not a person that's quote unquote starstruck.
No, he's not.
So I don't care who. I mean, Michael Vick was the one individual that I tried to, and he did sign my headband, by the way, but, you know, he didn't give me five. You know, after that, his career went downhill. You know what I mean? Take a lesson from it, people. You see me in person, you better recognize. You know what I mean? Don't call me Jay either, by the way. that was kind of funny, though. You know what? One of my coworkers used to call me Jay, so I'm used to it. It's not a problem.
Oh, man, I'm in tears, man.
It's not a problem. Where are we, though? I'm sorry.
I don't know, man.
I'm digressing.
No, Hardee, Greg Hardee. Is this, like, he had an altercation with the Dallas Cowboys special teams coordinator. We smacked his clipboard or something.
Yeah.
And then he got into it with Dez Bryant. I thought the Dez Bryant thing was a little petty. I don't think that was that serious.
I think it was, special teams.
And then the Dez Bryant thing I thought was petty. Does this dude have issues? Because I don't see how he can really get into it with the special teams coordinator.
At this point, if you Greg Hardee, you aren't cognizant of yourself, how you're perceived and your prior actions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you got off of that, you know, you weren't found guilty of domestic violence because of technicality. Then you compound that with being suspended for the first four games. Then you take your prior history and prior incidents, and then you fast forward to where we are now with Dallas and your behavior on the sideline. to me, just it just points to a guy who is cognizant of how of his prior issues and how he's perceived. I understand that he's, you know, passionate, fired up. He felt that the defense was doing their job to keep them in the game, and for Dwayne Harris to get that 80 yard,
it was 100, wasn't it? 100,
yeah, 100 yard kickoff return to essentially help seal the game for the Giants. That would make me pissed too, but at the same time, you have to be cognizant of the perception that people have about you, and also that management and the coaching staff has about you.
It reminds me of Terrell Owens, and I think it's going to end similarly if he doesn't change his act. And I believe that for whatever reason, Terrell Owens was probably a more beloved person in Dallas because he was more productive on the field. I know Greg Hardy hasn't necessarily had the chance to do anything, but remember how Terrell Owens did Greg Knapp on the sideline?
Yeah.
Now, again, I wasn't in Dallas, but then he got into an altercation with Jason Witten in the locker room. Same type of behavior, and eventually he was gone. Dallas is trying to change the culture, you know, going or dating back all the way to Michael Irvin and crack houses and stuff. So my opinion is I don't think they're going to put up with this. I believe that eventually he'll be released. He has shown flashes, though, and I love his attitude because he really believed they could beat the Patriots. He believed that.
Yeah.
I like go out there, talk trash, but it did fire Tom Brady up. He was more demonstrative than ever against Dallas, and knowing they were a depleted team at the time too.
All right, it's about time for our picks. Shout out to the folks from footballgarbagetime.com. We had a personal bet, you know, who would have a better outcome between me and the individual from the website. He beat me. I think he had like 8-6, and I was like 9-5. I didn't represent. I apologize. Both teams play hard though, like Rasheed Wallace would say. But anyway, Will right now is 47-28. I'm 49-40. Ray is 18-9. So what is that, the winning percentage, Ray, for yourself?
18-9?
Yeah.
Will, do the math.
All right, no one really cares right now. Do you care? Because Ray's like 85, like not 85 anymore. He's like 84%.
Wow. That's like 70%, if I'm not mistaken.
Hold up, I did it wrong. Let me see. I don't know. I don't know how to calculate it. Will, you're the math major, man. Go ahead.
I'm not a math major, but
you know how to find a calculator?
Nah. I'm not used to this high-tech stuff.
We can't have dead space. Listen here.
What?
I'm going to make my picks today.
I'll tell
you
now.
I'm sorry.
No, Dolphins versus Patriots.
Patriots.
I'm going Dolphins. I don't care if they're down. Dolphins, Patriots, Will T?
Oh, Patriots.
Yeah, so I'm be odd. Lions versus Chiefs.
Chiefs.
I'm gonna go with the Lions.
Yeah, my Super Bowl pick sucks. Buccaneers versus Falcons.
Falcons.
Chargers versus Ravens.
Ravens.
Chargers.
Give me the Ravens.
Vikings, Bears.
Vikings.
That team is hot.
Vikings, Cardinals, Browns.
Cardinals. Who's starting? Johnny Football?
I have no idea right now.
Johnny Football most likely is going to start.
I'll take the Cardinals.
Titans versus Texans. They cut my boy Ryan Mallett, man.
That's a hard one right
now. I know it is.
Titans versus Texans.
I did pick the Texans to beat Jacksonville, though, on this show.
Titans versus Texans.
I'll take the Titans.
I'm going to go with the Titans.
I'm going to go with the Texans. Giants versus Saints. It's in New Orleans.
Saints are hot.
Give me the
right
Saints.
Now.
I'm going with the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Saints. You going with Ray?
Saints.
Oh, Saints. That's my fault. Bengals versus Steelers.
Pittsburgh.
Bengals. Because I did say the Bengals going to beat the Buffalo Bills.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Join Ray.
Yeah, I did say the Bengals beat the Buffalo Bills.
You got me on that one.
Niners versus Rams.
Rams, Todd Gurley's too much right there. Too much for him.
Rams. Jets versus Raiders in Oakland.
You know, it's funny. It's not so easy. It's not like a definite picking against the Raiders now. Because if you actually saw them play, this team looks pretty good. But I'm going to go with the Jets.
I'll go with the Raiders at home. Because I don't like Fitzpatrick on the road.
I'm gonna go with the Raiders so bad. I'm gonna go with the Jets. Defense is still strong.
I want the Raiders too.
You want the Raiders?
Yeah.
All right. Seahawks versus Cowboys.
Seahawks.
Packers versus Broncos, and in Denver.
Sheesh. Denver's offense looks atrocious. Green Bay.
I got Denver
as well. Colts versus Panthers in Carolina.
Carolina.
Go with the Colts.
Okay. All right. She's like, we'll wrap this show up. If you want to listen to the show, by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at james.da.game6@gmail.com.
I just want to say, once again, thanks everyone for listening to us. We appreciate it. We sports fans just like you. You're taking the time out of your day, whether it's to listen to the podcast, catch us on the website, or whatever means you... are able to listen to the show. We truly appreciate it. We sports fans like you, like I said, and you guys are the reason we do this. And I also want to say, you know, if you're going out Saturday night, be safe, man. It's Halloween.
True that, true that. Anything, any parting shots, Ray Deasy?
I just want to say I'm going to be Tyus Jones for this upcoming event. I celebrate the Harvest Festival, you know what I mean? I don't do Halloween, but I think I'm going to go with Tyus Jones. I'm going to rock a Timberwolves jersey. And I guess put a name on the back that resembles someone who doesn't play. Maybe I'll do a number zero or something. I don't know.
You too much.
Way, way too much. RIP Flip Saunders. All right, we all stay blessed, man.
Rest in peace, Flip Saunders.
Ronnie, take us out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.